The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Lila Rose built the largest online following in the pro-life movement, exposing the abortion industry. Next, she shares what started it all.
So when I saw that, I was heartbroken. You know, anytime we stand up to a cause, it should start with heartbreak. It should start with really grief over who's being hurt, over the injustice. And I'm grateful for that moment of heartbreak because God would use that to inspire me to stand up and do something.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me as always. And I'm excited about today's program because we have a guest who does a work that is personal to me. It means a lot to me. And she has a new book called Fighting for Life. And our guest is the founder of Live Action, Lila Rose. Lila, great to have you on Life
Today. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
It's great to be here.
So, this is an interesting book because those of us who are familiar with you know your work, love your work, standing up to just bring awareness to abortion and fight it and uncover truth. But you get very personal in this book. Take us back maybe a few years to some things that we don't know so that you know we can see what kind of formulated you.
Sure, of course. So I wrote Fighting for Life because there's a lot of causes that need to be championed today. And I see the fight for life for the preborn as the greatest human rights issue of our day.
You know,
almost 3,000 children killed legally each day just in the U.S. alone. The global death toll is over 100,000 children every day. And it's being done in the name of women, which I think is really disrespectful to women to say that to take the life of a child is for us. So I wrote it to really provide a manual. What does it look like to stand up in the midst of controversy when there are obstacles, when society seems to be against you, and how important it is, especially for Christians, to do that? And for me, I share a lot of personal things, like you mentioned, because and struggles, because I think a lot of our internal wounds and struggles, our own experiences, really influence how we show up in the world. And even the causes we choose to take on and how we approach those causes. And so doing this sort of self-awareness work, you know, throughout our faith, I think our faith helps us do that in God's, through God's eyes, is part of the key. So for me, you know, I started Live Action as a teenager. I had this realization about abortion, moral clarity, which I'm really grateful for. I feel as a gift from God at a young age. And I just thought, okay, this is the fight. I got to do something. But I talk about how I immediately was struck, you know, as a teen with my own issues. You know, to this day, there's different issues we have, but I had a lot of, you know, mental health issues around in our family. I struggled with depression. I had some co-occurring issues in eating disorder, disordered eating, some self-harm tendencies. So I was really struggling inside, even though I saw that my life had a purpose. I knew that intellectually. And I saw this cause that needed to be championed. I needed help. And so I talk in the book about getting the help we need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as Christians, that can be hard to admit that, you know, because we're saved. We have God. So it's like everything should be great. Well, we need other people. He gives us, you know, mental health professionals. He gives us counselors. He gives us family to learn how to heal with. And so it's a journey of personal healing as much as it is externally standing up and fighting a fight.
The thing I loved about your book, and it's a great book, is that, as Randy said, you're very vulnerable. You share some of your own struggles, but you also have this pioneer woman spirit. And that came at a really early age. I mean, you mentioned in the book that you picked up a book on your parents' bookshelf when you were young, and it's a kind of book that might have turned a lot of young girls away from this issue. How did it hit you?
So there was a book in my parents' house, like you said. It was called A Handbook on Abortion. I had heard about abortion a little bit. My family was pro-life. I mean, I'm one of eight kids, so that's very, very pro-life. Beautiful, you know, family. Grateful for that so much. But this book had an insert with images, and I saw for the first time the victim of abortion, which most people don't talk about, right? It's like abortion's about women. It's not about a child. And you see in the first trimester when most abortions happen, this child, tiny arms, legs, this tiny face that has been suctioned apart by a first trimester abortion. And, you know, and if any women listening who've been hurt by abortion, this is not to share this in condemnation. It's a path to realization of what actually happened so that healing is possible. Because if we live in this sort of sense of, you know, just burying, burying what happened and not getting the healing we need, we're not free. So when I saw that, I was heartbroken. And I think heartbreak, I think most kids, younger people who find out about abortion in this way, really to see what it is, they're actually heartbroken.
Yeah.
They're upset. And I think that's natural and that's good. Mm. You know, anytime we stand up to a cause, it should start with heartbreak. It should start with really grief over who's being hurt, over the injustice. And I'm grateful for that moment of heartbreak because God would use that to inspire me to stand up and do something.
And you have done some amazing things, especially at such an early age when you started. But there's an interesting thing that is in your book, where you had a dream as a very young child. And I don't mean just a desire to do something, literally a dream that I think was a seed planted by God into your heart. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think, well, I had a vision as a young girl that it's possible to make our country and our world pro-life, that we don't have to live with abortion. You know, there's been over 60 million abortions since Roe v. Wade, and we don't have to continue with this. I mean, people think it's inevitable. Oh, abortions are always been done. Well, human rights abuses have always been done in history. We've had slavery for thousands of years, and it's only recently that most of the West has eradicated it. You know, slavery still exists today, modern-day slavery, but it is possible to eradicate injustice. We have to be willing to fight the fight. But connected to that heartbreak, I would also have, you know, nightmares, and even to this day, you know, about the people being hurt. And, you know, people listen, when people hear that, they're like, oh, you have nightmares, I'm so sorry. You know, that's rough. And, it is hard, but I'm also grateful in a sense because it reminds me, I think we have to allow ourselves to continue to be broken. And in a way, my nightmares remind me there's people needing me, needing us, needing you, our voice, what we have to offer with all our wounds and imperfections, because they're not being, no one's standing up for them. It's not popular today. You know, think about abortion. Most people support it in, you know, the kind of leadership in our academia, in media and politics. They need advocates. Preborn children have no voice. They have no way to stand up for themselves. Women who are being pursued by the abortion industry saying, you should have an abortion, it's the good thing for you. Where are their advocates? The women's rights movement is saying, go have an abortion. You know, it's good for you. We need to be their advocates. So in that sense, you know, those dreams and that vision, you know, the nightmares and that vision give me fuel. And I think we all need that fuel.
One of the things you talk about is in your interactions with Planned Parenthood, you discovered that there's so much false information given to women as to what the preborn child actually looks like. And what did you discover that was the most shocking to you?
Yes, so I've spent, and I detail this in the book, you know, and the strategies I used the last 10 years exposing and investigating America's abortion industry. And that's led by Planned Parenthood, like you mentioned. They're the biggest abortion chain. They get $1.7 million daily in taxpayer dollars.
Daily?
Daily, $1.7 million.
That's crazy.
And they're killing over 900 children every day. In America alone, they have international affiliates who also do abortions. So this is the greatest scam, I say. You know, they used to say tobacco was healthy. The greatest scam today that abortion is women's health care. And their whole operation is built around getting women in the door for abortions, building community relations. Their abortion numbers have gone up in the last 10 years. While their other services, most of the rest of their services have declined. And we know we've documented my first time undercover in an abortion clinic because I saw when you're fighting injustice, you have to expose the injustice. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's normalized. People get used to it. They think it's not a big deal. So I went undercover and I exposed in two abortion clinics sexual abuse cover-up. You know, I pose as an abuse victim. This is one of the many injustices connected to the injustice of abortion, where young girls or sex trafficked victims are sent or taken by abusers to abortion clinics that won't ask questions for secret abortions. And even though they're required by law, Planned Parenthood is required by law to report, they don't. When they see a little girl, they don't see her as what's going on, who's the boyfriend. They see her as an abortion client. And they don't ask questions or they even tell her to lie about her age mm-hmm. on paperwork, which is what they told me. They said, lie about your age, say you're older than you are, because I said I had a much older boyfriend and I was pregnant, and they said they'd get me in for a secret abortion. So parents don't know, you know, who is this girl, a runaway? Is she a sexually trafficked victim? They don't care. And, you know, over the years, we've documented court cases where Planned Parenthood actually has been sued or named in lawsuits of young girls who have sued them for covering up their abuse. Mm. But no one's reporting on this.
Wow.
You know, people just say, go Planned Parenthood. That's the message in media.
How do they get away with this? I mean, seriously, you would think that we would wake up and go, okay, look, even if you're pro-abortion mm-hmm. or pro-choice, we would say, okay, you at least got to go by, you know, play by yeah. the rules and yeah. not cover up sex trafficking.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think there would be at least some level of common sense, but mm-hmm. there seems to be none. What's going on?
You can't regulate concentration camps. I mean,
wow.
it's like saying, think about, in, you know, Nazi Germany. Well, we just got to regulate them. And, you know, it's okay that they're killing, you know, off whole swaths of the population, Jewish people, you know, ethnic groups they're against, political prisoners. But just do it this certain way, you
yeah.
know, do it, have these certain regulations. The abortion industry doesn't want to be regulated. Mm. So they operate, you know, outside of the law. They do what they want. And until we abolish abortion, until we see abortion for what it is, the violent taking of an innocent child's life, mm. a violation of the woman as it is the child, then we're going to continue to see these other abuses happening in abortion clinics.
I'm thinking of our viewers watching at home, probably like me, horrified by the statistics, mm-hmm. but maybe a little anesthetized by the problem
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
like, well, what can I do?
Yeah.
One of the best things you do in your book, Lila, is that you give us a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yes, I'd love to. So, and that's the hope that I have. I mean, this problem doesn't have to keep happening. You know, I talk in the book about how we're each called to stand up. It doesn't matter, you know, your insecurities, your wounds, your past. It doesn't matter. God created you at this time in history mm-hmm. for a particular reason. And some of the things I share, first of all, is equipping our minds and our hearts. I talked about heartbreak and the importance of letting ourselves really be broken for those that are being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about heroes, the importance of having people that we look to that can inspire us, that show us how they blazed a trail when there wasn't one, to stand up for what is right. You know, Corrie Ten Boom is one of my heroes.
Oh,
back
yeah,
to,
mine too.
Yeah, The Hiding Place. I talk about her as an example, but, you know, she risked her life, her and her sister risked her life and her father to house Jews during the Holocaust. And, you know, they were sent to a concentration camp. She was almost killed. Her sister died there. But she risked everything for others, people she didn't even know.
Yeah.
And if we have heroes like that, and we're serious about those as our heroes, it puts it into perspective for us. What are we willing to do mm. to fight for life? And so then I share tactics and strategies. Like part two of the book is, okay, like getting into that. And, you know, it can be as simple as calling up a pro-life organization locally and saying, how can I help?
Yeah.
You know, calling up your pregnancy center. What can I do to volunteer? Showing up at the abortion clinic for 30 minutes, quietly, peacefully, to pray.
Wow.
We have done that. Our youth, we work with a lot of young people, they do that. Women just will drive right by. They won't show up to their abortion appointment because they were praying on the way there to God, if there is a God, let there be a sign not to have this abortion today.
Mm.
And that person, you, maybe by yourself, praying quietly, might be the sign that someone's praying for. Mm. That's how God works.
That's beautiful.
So there's lots of practical things to do, but I think the core of it is the mindset of being willing to step into the fray.
Right.
Being willing to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Being willing to break your patterns of your normal life. Because we all have our patterns, right?
Sure.
We pick the kids up from school if you're a parent, or you drop them off, or you Zoom school, I don't know. You go to work, you go to church, whatever. Break a pattern and say, this Saturday I'm going to go pray outside the clinic.
Mm.
This afternoon I'm going to go volunteer. Today I'm going to finally talk to my sister or my sister-in-law about abortion,
mm.
you know, or I'm going to reckon with the abortion in my past or
yeah.
someone in my past. I'm going to get the healing I need.
Right.
You know, I'm going to talk to my pastor. We've got to do a full-time pro-life ministry.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to get involved.
One thing I find very interesting, because people are watching you and listening to you and they're thinking, wow, she's amazing. And I agree.
Me too.
But you mentioned it earlier in our conversation, and you talk about it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think, some spiritual forces coming against you to thwart you in the work God had called you to do. And I would gamble to say that you probably didn't feel like you were qualified or able or all these things. What was it that got you past that?
Yeah.
To step out and do it.
Yeah, and there's a whole chapter just about imposter syndrome, which it's this syndrome that actually happens where people who are trying to do something, even in career work or cause work, a calling, you're like, I'm not qualified. Who am I? Who am I to do this stuff? Like, what? I'll just cheer other people on, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's certainly a lot. I mean, to this day, you know, the more you fight, the more you have, the bigger the obstacles. But the more you are willing to get up again, the more inner strength you learn, you discover. And that's how God works. And, you know, that's what the lesson is, God always gives you what you need for the day.
Right.
Get up and try again. Doesn't matter how many times you fail, you get up and try again and you get the help you need. You know, over the years, mentors, coaches, find heroes. We need people. We're not meant to do this alone. Sometimes we will feel alone. But having people to look to ask questions of, that is key. And I think that has been my secret, you know, along with obviously faith, and God gives those people to persevering.
You know, honestly, for me, one of the most significant things you've said that has convicted me most is if you look at social media now, even amongst us within the church, there's a lot of anger, not necessarily a lot of heartache. And I think what you're saying about allowing our hearts to be broken is really key, because when we just come across as angry people, I mean, who wants to listen to angry people?
Well, I mean, and what's the goal? Are we trying to persuade people? Or are we trying to win people? And I think there's a role for anger. Anger can be healthy, but if anger is just eating us up inside and turning us inward and making us hateful, that's not of God.
Yeah.
But if it's anger because we want to set injustice right, and it's really driven by heartache. I mean, Jesus is always, throughout the Gospels, he's weeping. He cries over the death of Lazarus. He cries in the garden. He weeps in the garden before the crucifixion. Lord, let this cup pass. He's feeling. Yeah. And I think, you know, back to imposter syndrome, it's another key. If we are driven by wanting so badly to help those in need, if we're letting ourselves feel for them, that will overcome, I think, a lot of our own insecurities. It's no longer about us and, oh, I'm not good enough. Keeping our eyes turned inward. It's now looking outward and saying, I'm imperfect, but I'm going to show up, you know? I'm going to do what I can.
Boy, that's good. And, you know, there are injustices in this world. And yet are we not called as believers, as followers of Christ, to set those injustices right? Well, there are some things going on right now that you can do something about around the world. And we have a great opportunity right now to set something right.
We do. And the thing I love about Lila's book, and we're going to tell you after this how you can get hold of your own copy, is there might be some other issues that you feel God has placed on your heart. This is a strategy for being able to move forward whatever God has placed in your life. It doesn't just have to be the pro-life movement. If God has placed a burden in your heart for anything that you see is unjust, this book will help you walk through. And we're going to tell you how you can get your own copy. But first, would you watch this?
My name is Miriam Venegas. It was sudden. He was 5 months old. He had never been sick. I was carrying him in my arms, and then I felt he had quit breathing. He couldn't breathe, and he didn't want anything. Here is where I saw my son die.
The doctor said it was the water that took him. For a grieving mother, this somehow hurt more. Miriam had given everything as a mom, but giving her son Tyson water to drink wasn't optional. Unfortunately, neither was her water source. River water, contaminated. Left with no choice, Miriam gave Tyson water that attacked his body like a poison.
That morning, my son woke up feeling bad, vomiting, and wouldn't eat. I got scared and started to take him to the health clinic, but it would take 3 hours to walk there. He couldn't breathe. It was sudden. It's hard because I always remember what happened there. I miss him so much.
Tragedies like this should never happen to any mother. Together, we can do something to stop the spread of waterborne disease by providing mothers like Miriam with fresh, clean drinking water.
That's the look that should be on a child's face. Smiling, eyes bright. My heart absolutely breaks for Miriam to think that she would be in a place where literally she had to walk for 3 hours to try and get some help for a desperately sick child. And by the time she gets there, her child is no longer here. That should never happen. And it's not as if she was carrying a child who was sick with cancer or something that, you know, would be hard to treat in certain areas of the world. The only thing this child needed, the only thing this mother needed, was clean water. And this is something that we are passionate about here. Maybe you think in your, you know, you watch this show and you think, you know what, I want to be a world changer. Well, honestly, Lila Rose's book is going to help you do that. And I want to send it to you. But what I want to ask you is, would you help us be the answer to the prayers of some mothers right now? We've made a commitment, Randy, to drill 350 water wells, which seems like an overwhelming. But when we all do our part, this is very doable.
Yeah, and can you imagine the look on a child's face, even on a mother's face, when they walk up and there's that clean water coming out of that well that's placed right there? Well, you can put a look of joy and gratefulness on thousands of children's faces. In fact, one well, which an average cost of $4,800, will typically service at least 1,000 people for a lifetime. Now, for many of you, I understand that's a lot. That's why we need you to come together with others. In fact, a gift of $48 will help provide clean drinking water for 10 people for a lifetime. And when we come together, we pool our resources as the body of Christ, as those who just have compassion for our fellow man, we can reach that goal, Sheila, that you mentioned, of reaching into 20 nations with 350 wells. And I got to tell you, if you will exceed that, I know we can pass that goal, but that's the goal for now. I just want you to think about what you can do right now, today, by going online, going to the phone, making the best gift you can. Give $48, which will provide an average of 10 people with clean water for a lifetime. Give $144, which will provide that water of life for 30 people for a lifetime. Or if you can drill an entire well by yourself, $4,800, do it. Just make the best gift you can and know that you will be saving lives. Let's do it. Do it now.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you James Robison's book, Living Amazed. Full of inspirational true stories, you'll learn how divine encounters can change your life. In addition, you'll also receive Randy Robison's brand new devotional, Upgrade, 7 Moves in 7 Weeks to a Better Life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Thin Line Bible with easy-to-read large print. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, I'm standing here with these children, and they're just a small example of children all over the world that they deserve to be considered and loved and cared for. And we have an opportunity to do that right now among these children and those around the world. to give them some clean water, to give them a chance in life. And I ask you to help us do that. It's just a simple request, but a very urgent and important one. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you. Thank you.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone right now and making the best gift you can. And when you do, be sure to request Lila's book, Fighting for Life. And Lila, you know, you have saved so many lives. I'm just curious, what does it do for you when you realize you have literally saved the lives of children?
Well, it's celebration. And I know, you know, what you're doing to raise money to build wells, we should celebrate. I talked about heartbreak. We talked mm-hmm. about, you know, letting ourselves be broken. But also, we're made for celebration. Mm-hmm. And worshiping God is the ultimate celebration, right? Because He's
that.
Our Savior. But part of celebration is celebrating the lives of others and the good works that are being done. Mm-hmm. And so I talk in the book, you know, when we get messages very regularly, we just got one yesterday from a mother saying, I watched your video. I was going to have an abortion, a young girl. Now I'm going to have my baby because I saw what happens
wow.
during abortion. I can't do this anymore. And it's just immediate celebration.
Sure.
And we're made for that. We're made to look at the good that is possible. And I think I want to, you know, that's really the end note, right? What are we fighting for?
Yeah.
We're fighting for each other. We're fighting for that child. We're fighting for that mother. And that's such a beautiful thing.
How
right?
can people
Something
connect with you, Lila? If people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
Thank you. Well, liveaction.org is Live Action's hub with all of our resources and information. Fighting for Life is anywhere you find books. And then I'm Lila Rose on social media. I've got a podcast. We talk about causes and callings, yep. The Lila Rose Show. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, that's out there.
Yep. I've already subscribed. But remember, when you call today, ask for a copy of Fighting for Life, and we will be happy to send that to you. So from Randy, I'm Sheila saying goodbye. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Dad, I've always had this unrealistic standard of what it looks like to save the world. And you're telling me one woman, where she was doing chores in her home, opened the door for you?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.